Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here to take you on another audio journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will cover the remaining part of Forgetfulness of the Past, questions 395 to 399.
Enjoy.
Question 395. Can we obtain any revelations about our former lives?
Not always. Nevertheless, many know who they were and what they did. If they were permitted to speak openly, they would make curious revelations about the past.
Question 396. Some persons believe they have a vague memory of an unknown past. It appears as a fleeting image of a dream, which, in vain, they try to retain. Wouldn't this belief simply be an illusion?
It is sometimes real, but much more often it is an illusion to be guarded against. It could simply be the effect of an overexcited imagination.
Question 397. In the corporeal existences of a more evolved nature than ours, is the memory of previous lives more precise?
Yes, as the body becomes less material, they become easier to remember. The memory of the past is clearer for those who inhabit worlds of a higher order.
Question 398. Since people's instinctive tendencies are a reminiscence of their past, then by studying those tendencies, can they know about the wrongs they committed?
Undoubtedly, to a certain point. However, it is necessary to take into account the improvement that may have taken place in the spirit and the resolutions it made in its errant state. The present existence could, in fact, be much better than the preceding one.
Sub-question 398. Could it be worse? In other words, could persons commit wrongs in their present existence which they had not committed in the preceding one?
That depends on their advancement. If they do not yet know how to resist trials, they could be drawn to commit new wrongs as a consequence of the position they themselves have chosen. But such wrongs indicate a stationary state rather than a regressive one, because spirits may advance or remain stationary. They do not regress.
Question 399. Since the tribulations of corporeal life are at the same time expiations for past wrongs and trials for the future, does it follow that from the nature of these tribulations we may deduce the kind of preceding existence we lived?
Very frequently, because individuals are punished for their particular sins. Nevertheless, we cannot make this an absolute rule. The instinctive tendencies are a more certain indication because the trials that a spirit undergoes refer as much to the future as to the past.
Author's remarks for question 399. When the end that Providence has marked for their errant life has arrived, spirits choose for themselves the trials to which they desire to submit themselves and which will hasten their advancement. That is, the kind of existence they believe most appropriate for furnishing them with the means to evolve. And such trials are always related to the wrongs they must expiate. If they triumph over them, they advance. If they succumb, they have to start over. Spirits always enjoy their free will. It is in virtue of this freedom that in the spirit state, they choose the trials of their upcoming corporeal life. And in the incarnate state, they deliberate over what they will or will not do, choosing between good and evil. Denying humans their free will would reduce them to the condition of a machine. Integrated into corporeal life, spirits momentarily lose the remembrance of their former lives, as though a veil hid them. And nevertheless, they sometimes have a vague awareness of them, and they may even be revealed under certain circumstances. However, this does not happen except by the will of the high order spirits, who may allow it to occur spontaneously for some useful purpose, but never to satisfy vain curiosity. Of course, future existences cannot be revealed in any case, since they depend both on the manner in which the present existence is completed and on the latter choice of the spirit. Forgetfulness of wrongs that were committed is not an obstacle to spirit's improvement because, even though they do not have a precise memory of them, the knowledge they had of them during the errant state, in addition to the desire they conceived at that time to repair them, guide them through their intuition and inspire them with the thought of resisting evil. This thought is the voice of conscience, and it is seconded by spirits who will assist them if they heed their good suggestions. Even though people do not know the acts they committed in their previous lives, they can nonetheless always know the kind of wrongs for which they became guilty and what their dormant characteristics were. They only have to study themselves in the present, and they will be able to discern what they were in the past, not by what they are per se, but by their tendencies. The tribulations of corporeal life are at the same time expiations for past wrongs and trials for the future. They purify and elevate us. We endure them with resignation and without complaint. The nature of the trials and tribulations we undergo may also enlighten us about what we were and what we did, as in this world we judge the acts of a criminal by the punishment the law inflicts on him or her. Thus those who were proud will be punished by the humiliation of a subaltern position, the self-indulgent and greedy by poverty. Those who were harsh towards others by the harsh treatment they themselves will suffer, the tyrant by slavery, the bad son by ingratitude of his own children, the lazy by forced labor, etc.